Okay, so that's part one. Okay. Part two. Stories. Reb Chaim, there are stories about Reb Chaim. A lot of them are in this book. They're all over the place. And these stories, a lot of them sound, if you have to leave, you have to leave, it's okay. A lot of them sound unbelievable. These people are alive. You can go talk to them. They're everywhere. Everyone, we'll see, I'll give you examples. Everyone went to Reb Chaim. There are thousands of these stories. I'm just going to give a few. First is this one. It's on the sheet there. Several months ago, there was a yeshiva student. A yeshiva student went to Reb Chaim, and this guy had a bad scar on his face. He was disfigured. And it was hard for shidduchim. It was hard for shidduchim. So he went to Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim gave him a bracha, and he said, the next time you go on a date, tell the girl, the first thing you tell her is how you got the scar. He said, okay. He set up with the girl. He told her how he got the scar. What happened? When he was a teenager, when he was younger, he saw some Arab murderer in Russia chasing down a family, and he went to fight him to protect the family, and the Arab terrorist, he gashed his face. He has a big scar on his face. But he saved his family's life when he did it. And the girl said, those are my parents you saved. When he told the story to the first girl, that girl was the daughter of the family that he saved, and so the fact that they got married. Somehow, we'll get this. Somehow, Reb Chaim knew, right? Somehow, Reb Chaim knew that would happen. Okay, they're crazy stories, but there are thousands of these stories. About Tshuva, a couple of years, he went to a certain yeshiva. Then, well, later, he died in the yeshiva from a sickness, nothing to do with the yeshiva. And the parents were angry at this. Were angry at the rabbanim of the yeshiva. You killed him. It was terrible. They weren't religious. They didn't know what to do. Like, should they be Menachem Avo or not? They're going to yell at him. He said, be Menachem Avo. And then Reb Chaim told them, tell the parents, you know, the boy should have died earlier. You're lucky he should have died earlier. What? That's what you tell the parents? Okay. So they come in Menachem Avo. The parents are yelling at them. You killed him. So one of the rabbis froze, and the other one said, he should have died earlier. You're lucky he lasted. He should have died earlier. So the parents look at each other and start crying. They take a call him into the kitchen. He had become a Baal Tshuva a couple years earlier, and his parents thought he was crazy. His friends are going out. He said, I'm not going in a car on Shabbos anymore. That Friday night, his friends died in a car crash. And because he had become a Baal Tshuva, he lived a couple of extra years. And that's what they told the parents at the Shiva. You hear that? There are thousands of stories like this. There's a famous grasshopper story. The grasshopper, don't make fun of this story. Reb Chaim himself was made on this story. The famous, he was writing a sefer on the Siman Tara of a grasshopper, and he had a question about what a grasshopper looked like. He looked at his daughter's science book, that he didn't have it. He didn't see what a grasshopper was, and so as he's writing the sefer, a grasshopper flies in, lands on the desk, he looks at it, he got it, and then it flew out, and jumped out, and then he put it in the sefer. That's the famous story. Now, how do we know it's true? A, because, I mean, the rabbi said it, so of course it's true. But there's another video, it's out there, you can find it later. Somebody brought a live grasshopper to Reb Chaim to show him, this is the type that the Taimanim eats. The Taimanim, certain grasshoppers, they have a Masorah on. And you see the grasshopper's alive. He's showing up like this, and Reb Chaim's looking at it very carefully. It's like a two-minute video, it's worthwhile seeing it. Type in, Reb Chaim looks at a grasshopper. And during the video, the guy was a smart guy. The guy said, oh, didn't you once see when you, the grasshopper came onto your desk and you picked it up? He said, whoa, Rocky Stakalfi. So the guy got Reb Chaim to be made about the story. It's a good, you hear that? You know, I think that was his intention. I don't know. Anyways, but yeah, Reb Chaim, no, Rocky Stakalfi. Now, that's the story, okay? And they told that story to Rav Yashiv. There's a Rishon that happened to it. It's in the Beis Yosef Simon Ein Pei Beis. What? Yeah, that happened to one of the Rishonim. The Rav Yashiv was like blown away that in our generation, this guy did a Shmaya. Now, this next part I'm not sure is true. There are two parts to the next part. The next part goes, there was a guy that came to Bnei Brak and made fun of the story, and he comes home into his apartment and he's overrun with grasshoppers in his apartment. that's the story that goes. And they told him, and he went to ask Reb Chaim Mechila, and Reb Chaim was Michael, and he said, fine. Then the grasshoppers went away. That's the now there's another addendum to that story that we'll get to later. But that's the addendum to the story, okay? Guys, don't make fun of these stories. It's hard for us, we'll get this. Reb Chaim had some sort of Ruach HaKodesh, whatever it was, some sort of, whatever, however you want to define it, we'll get to that. And so, next. A guy comes to Reb Chaim, he's in his 30s, and he says, Rebbe, I need a bracha for a shidduch. Reb Chaim says to him, your shidduch's not born yet. Bracha b'atzlacha. A few months later, he meets a young lady who had just converted, and she kiyores, and they get married a few months. They get married a few months later, a year later. So somehow Reb Chaim knew she was a ger. She wasn't born yet. You learned that a ger shenis gaya katan oladam. That's an amazing story. And there are hundreds, there are thousands of these stories. Thousands of these stories.
Did
that,
the story?
What?
Did the
no, no.
Myself.
Here you go.
The guy goes to Reb Chaim and goes, I got married to Zigaris. Your bracha was true. He goes, oh, I was also wondering what it meant.
Right. Oh, good. Okay, good. Listen. That line you just said, I'm also wondering what it meant. So I'm going to jump ahead a little bit. Okay. You hear that? I'm also wondering what it meant now. This sefer is in alphabetical order. There's a chapter on Ruach HaKodesh, Reish. And in this chapter, Reb Chaim describes levels of Ruach HaKodesh that people can have. And he says, sometimes you're on a level where Hashem puts things in your mouth and you're not sure. So he's describing himself. No, the people who know, if you read, it's worth it. If you read this chapter, Ruach HaKodesh, he talks about that sometimes, mamash, literally what you just said, a divinely ordained a person who should utter something, although he has no idea that this is Ruach HaKodesh. Hashem puts the thoughts into his mind, and he articulates the truth, etc. That's exactly what you just said, and there are other stories like that, where Reb Chaim said that. So Reb Chaim basically lived similar to this chapter, Ruach HaKodesh. It's worth seeing it. It's exactly what you just said. It's in here. Okay, very good. More stories. Quickly, more stories. More stories. Now, this happened all the time. My wife has friends that they did this. A woman who has a typical pregnancy, sometimes the baby's backwards. It's I think a breech. It's the head's the wrong way. So they went to Reb Chaim. I know the person this happened. I mean, my wife knows the person this happened to. He said to the husband, you have several sperm at home that are upside down. Go turn them right side up. And the baby turned right side up. But I mean, these things happen, you understand? Because, you know, it was upside down, so it's a similar. So that's what he did. And he would say these things. There are thousands of these stories, not a few, not 10, everyone. You talk to people, and these people are alive. These people are alive. A guy came to Reb Chaim, he had a very serious operation. I heard this from a friend of mine who knows the person directly. Like mamash, he had a very serious operation, like a cancer, and it was a perfect operation. He came to get a brach from Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim said to him, Tzarich Leitpalel. He said, Tzarich Leitpalel. So that meant that something was off still. He went back to the doctor. He said, please check again. They did another x-ray. It turns out there was something there that they didn't get out fully. And Reb Chaim knew that somehow. In other words, Tzarich Leitpalel means it's something wrong still. So he saved the guy's life. These things happen all the time. In other words, when the doctors, sometimes Reb Chaim had this instinct, whatever you want to call it, this mini Ruach HaKodesh. He saved the guy's life. Well, there are a lot of stories like that. There's a famous story. This is what happened 1,000 times. It's in the book. A guy comes to Reb Chaim and says, tonight's my son's bar mitzvah. It's your son, Reb Chaim. My son? He tells a story that my wife was having difficulty with late in the pregnancy. The doctor said you had to end the pregnancy. I came to you. You said, no, it's fine. The pregnancy will be good. You'll give birth healthy. It's not a danger. I asked you 3 or 4 times. And that baby that the doctors wanted to end the pregnancy, it's getting bar mitzvah now. There are thousands of these stories. Now, okay. There are thousands of these stories. There's a story in this book. It's a good one. Somebody came to Reb Chaim and he said, the chinuch in this city is not so good. So Reb Chaim said, move to another city. Yeah, but it's too expensive to live there. Reb Chaim said, don't worry, the money's going to work out. If you're moving for that, the money's going to work out. Okay. So he moved to the other city. He's having a hard time. It's not working out. He was going to maybe sell it. He had an old investment. He didn't want to sell it, but he has no choice. He's going to sell the investment. He went to Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon said, no, if Reb Chaim says that, don't sell it. It's going to work out. He went back to Reb Chaim. And he asked Reb Chaim, is Reb Shimon right? And he said, yeah, he's right. Bracha v'atzrach. In other words, Reb Chaim's not going to talk about himself, but he's not going to argue on Reb Shimon. This guy's a smart guy. So I'm happy that he said a little bit of a chutzpah question. So he got Reb Chaim on record saying that if Reb Shimon said that it's going to work out, then it's fine. So he said, so and he said it was fine. Now, there's a story in this book, an amazing story. A certain Gemara Ziskin wrote a letter to a rabbi in Egypt, a big rabbi in Egypt. He didn't answer. He wrote him again, he didn't answer. Finally, he writes back and he says, I couldn't answer your letters. I'm involved in this crazy case with the king, and it's taken up all my time. What is it? The king of Egypt was going for a walk with his wife, and she was thirsty. She wanted to take a drink. He said, no, don't do it. I'm thirsty. Don't. No. She did it. And people saw that this happened. Now, the rule is, if you disobey the king three times, you have to be killed. So the advisor said, you got to kill her. You know, it's like Asherah and Vashti. And he said, if you don't kill her, then he didn't want to kill his wife. If you don't kill her, then we have to remove you because you can't be the king. So the king wanted a way out. You got the case? So he called in the leading Rav and the Havdil, the priest and the imam, what to do. Okay. So the Maharaj Diskin said, I know the answer. He said, there's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. There's a Gemara, and he sent him the answer, and he solved it. But they didn't know what it was. So Rav Chaim said, I know the Gemara. There's a Gemara that if a guy worships like water, you can drink the water. Why? Because water is always flowing. So the water you're going to drink is not the same water he did Avodah Zarah to. So therefore, when she said no to the king about the water, it was different water each time. It wasn't saying no three times on the same thing. And therefore, he doesn't have to kill her. And you hear that? That's amazing. So in other words, so he copped that Gemara in Avodah Zarah that was the answer that the Maharaj Diskin sent to the king to get out of the problem. That's not bad. That's not bad. Okay, Ruach HaKodesh. Now, I'll tell you, when you're totally plugged into Kedusha, so then the Lashon that Rav Aaron Feldman uses was that your Kedusha is Kaveh HaTeva. The Torah is Kaveh HaTeva. Hashem looks into the Torah to create the world. If you're so plugged into the Torah, you can have influence. There's an amazing line in the Elio Rabba. This was quoted. Elio Rabba, Perek Dal, it says, Kol Chacham V'Chacham Yisrael, Sheyesh Bo Divrei Torah La'amito, Umitaneach al kvodo shal kodesh baruch hu kol yomav miyad shore ruach hakodesh bekirbo. And another girsa says az zocha liruach hakodesh bidvarav. This is what I think happened. Reb Chaim got plugged in, and these are some of the stories. Okay, some more stories. You guys in mind? A few more stories.
Well,
okay, now he had a sense of humor. Chaim had a sense of humor. I gave you one example, the Buha. There's a story, there's a video about this. A guy came in, he was like playing with her. He was making fun. And he came in and asked the Chaim, he says, check if you want to marry a girl, check her brothers. What do you check them for? The Chaim said, if they're normali. What does it mean to be normali, normal? What does it mean normali? So the Chaim said that they know how to learn. That's pretty good, by the way. That's another one. Then the guy said, like as a joke, what if one brother's normal and one brother's not? The Prime could tell that he was like, you know, he wasn't being serious now. The Prime said, marry half the girl. Okay, marry half the girl, one's and one's not. And so the guy figured out the Prime wasn't interested. So he said, so Rebbe, give me a bracha. He said, bracha patrani. Anyway, whatever. So these are, okay, now. The guy asked him a question. In Yiddish, the word for yes is ya, which is Yud and Hey, is Hashem's name. So the guy asked Reb Chaim, is it mutter to say that word in Yiddish? So Reb Chaim said, Yah. Okay, fine, okay. Anyway, now, here's the addition to the grasshopper story. This part, I don't know if it's true, but I heard, again, I want to check this. Okay, so what was the grasshopper story? We know the grasshopper story. Then the guy made fun of it, right? The guy made fun of it, and his house overrun by grasshopper. So somebody said, this story is in one of the Aleinu L'Shabeach. I couldn't find it. You know Aleinu L'Shabeach, that's Rav Zilberstein, Shlita's farm. So they asked Reb Chaim, hey, look at the story. Is this true that happened this way? So Reb Chaim said, I don't want to say. I don't want my house to be overrun by Aleinu L'Shabeach. Okay, fine, anyway. That's a really deep joke. Okay, but anyway, fine. So that's it. Now, by Reb Chaim, everything was about Ruchnius. When you walked in there, he was honed in only on the ruchnius. This happens a lot. A guy would give a lot of money. Now, if you give, let's say I'm a fundraiser and you're a rich guy, I bring you into a prime. Oh, yeah, gives a lot of money. So what's the rich guy waiting for? What's he waiting for? A bracha, a compliment. Rav Chaim would say to him, do you learn? What? Do you learn? Are you kibitzim with Torah? You have to learn more. And now the fundraiser is getting all nervous, like, you know, this is my big guy, and you're making... And they had these stories, and somebody said, this is the first guy that told the truth to me. He told me the truth, and yeah, I really should learn more. But he cared about your ruchnius. So if a guy is rich and he's not learning, you've got to learn. And he told me he should learn. And these stories are in the book. It was all about ruchnius. If you said to him, Rabbi, it's my birthday, I want a bracha for my birthday. So Rav Chaim would say, birthdays, Goyim celebrate birthdays, Paro celebrates birthdays. There's no birthdays in Judaism. So they went to Rav Steinman. Rav Steinman said, don't tell him it's your birthday. Tell him it's the day of your bar mitzvah. Then he'll give you a bracha. Because bar mitzvah is a thing. Your bar mitzvah, yes, you keep on learning every year, learn more for the... Anyway, so that story captures how Rav Steinman was also. Now, I heard this story from Rabbi David Shlita. A mesholach goes to raise money. He comes to a rich guy, and the rich guy knows how to learn. So the rich guy says to the mesholach, I have a kasha on Tosfos, can you help me? He said, no, I don't know the answer. So he gave him a small check. Fine. This guy went back and where he was staying, and he had other friends. A lot of the mesholachim like sort of, you know, hang out, they know each other. So he told them the story. So one of them said, I'm going to do it. So he worked on Tosfos. He spent 6 hours working on a Tosfos. And I know the Tosfos cold. He goes back to the guy. The guy says, by the way, can you answer my kasha on Tosfos? He goes, oh yeah, I can. And he gave him the answer, gave him a big check. Got the case? So the second mesholach now was feeling uncomfortable, you know, because like, he felt, you know, maybe it's like, you know, it's like a trick what he did. He wasn't sure if it was totally above board. You understand the question? So he went to Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim said to him, he underpaid you. So no one answered him. Tosfos is $1 million. $1 million to an answer shot of Tosfos. Of course you can keep the money. It wasn't for the yeshiva. Of course you can keep the money. Now that's a way of viewing the world. If you view the world through the eyes of ruchnius, underpaid hoses and millions, he underpaid you. There's a story here that a plumber, he had to fix the pipe, so he paid him, you're supposed to pay a person right away. So he paid him right away. Then Reb Chaim said to the plumber, how do you daven for parnasa? In other words, I hope everyone's toilets break. How is the plumber supposed to daven for parnasa? You understand the question? So the plumber didn't know what to say. So Reb Chaim said, I'll tell you. You should daven that if somebody has a gzeira, that he's going to break a limb, he should break his pipe instead. No, the fizzle pipe instead. And that's what the guy davens now for. Anyone out there who's supposed to have exeris, have something broken in your stomach internally, let it be the internal workings of your the pipe instead of your internal stomach. That's how Reb Chaim went through life. That's pretty good. Okay, anyway, that's how he said how to daven. Now, Rav Aaron Feldman Shlita told the following story 2 nights ago, and the person it happened to was alive still. Okay. You can go. This guy, Lo Aleinu, he got some sort of weird muscle disease, and he was paralyzed. He went to a professor, and the professor said, he talked to him, because you have some disease where it's like it's in your muscles, it takes 2 years to work through, and then you can walk again. He told him, that's what he told him. Okay? So the guy, he went home, he was going to get a wheelchair and this. So Reb Chaim came over to be Mavar Kachol, he knew he was sick. Reb Aaron Feldman lived in Bnei Brak near... Okay, so he lived near him for a while. He said a few times, the few times the stipler was asked to Shaila, and he wasn't sure, he said, ask Chaim, and Chaim had an answer on the spot when he was much younger. So Reb Chaim came to visit this guy. He knocked on the door, but the guy didn't have his wheelchair yet, and he couldn't get over it, and he couldn't get to the door in time, and Reb Chaim left. The guy was so upset. He struggled, he got onto the Merpeset, and he called out, Reb Chaim, oh, he looked up, Refuah Shleima, Amen. The guy turns around, and he walks into his house. Again, I heard, the guy's alive. And Reb Chaim and his wife said, you're walking. He goes, oh, I'm walking. Amazing. He goes back to the doctor. The doctor, like, faints and says, what happened? Because I went to Big Rav. He said, what's the Rav's name? He said, why? He said, look, I'm an old man. I want to retire. I'll send out my patients to him, and then I can retire. Just give him a bracha, and then they all get better. I don't need to do this anymore. Anyway. So these are the stories. Okay. One more thing. Reb Chaim spoke about Kibbutz Av Em all the time. He told a story. The Chazon Ish used to visit his own mother. He visited his mother once every day. Once he didn't come because he was sick. So Reb Chaim was, Reb Chaim lived nearby, and he overheard the Chazon Ish's mother saying, "Oh, where is my son? Where is our, what was the Chazon Ish? I forgot his name. Avrami. Where was Avrami? Where was Avrami Yeshaya yesterday?" So Reb Chaim told the Chazon Ish that. So he says in the book, he grabbed his hat and he ran. And he said, Reb Chaim couldn't keep up with him. Now, I'm not sure how fast each one of them could run, but basically, the Chazon Ish ran. So my son told me, my son learns in a kollel, Rav Neventhal's suite is kollel, so they brought in people to speak. They're related. Their grandkids got married. Rav Neventhal's grandson married Reb Chaim's granddaughter. So they told the following story. Two people were talking, and they mentioned, "Oh, Chaim's back hurts." Chaim, there was another nephew named Chaim in the family. The disciple overheard this and thought it was about Chaim Kineski. So he goes to Reb Chaim Kineski's house, and he says, "Stop learning. Take off your shirt. Take off your shirt. Lie down. Lie down." He takes oil, puts oil on his back. Stay in bed for 2 hours. Okay? And that's his bed for 2 hours. And then he gets up. Later they find out, Chaim Kineski, he wouldn't argue on his father. He wouldn't question his father. His father said it was a mistake. It was a mistake. It was the wrong Chaim. You understand? He thought that Chaim's back was hurting. He wanted to make him better. Fine. There are more stories like this. Okay. Finally, one more story. This is in the last story in the book. It's about he's going to Poland. I assume they'll tell you the story later on. These are the shaylos that came to Reb Chaim. So Reb Chaim, and he's the Rebbe of the son of this woman. And there's a woman who went to Auschwitz, and she said to her son, "I have a shayla for Reb Chaim Kanievsky." Said, "I was in Auschwitz twice, and during those years, I saw Gehenna, and I lost my entire past. I lost everybody. How did I stay alive? I said a tefillah. I said to Hashem 7 words. B'chol zos shimcha lo shachachnu. 8 words. No tishkachenu. And I said it over and over again. And that got me to Auschwitz. I'm getting old now. I may have estimated I'm going to die. I want to take that tefillah up to Shemayim with me. I want to be buried with that tefillah. Can I do that?" You know, when you're buried, you don't take anything. So he asked Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim was crying, and he said, he thought for a second, is it a pasuk or is it a tefillah? And it wasn't a pasuk. In other words, those words, it sounds like a pasuk. B'chol zos shimcha lo shachachnu, no al tishkachenu. It's not a pasuk. Reb Chaim said, if it's a pasuk, you can't. It's a bizayon to bury a pasuk in the ground that's not supposed to be there. But a tefillah is fine. So Reb Chaim said, you can bury her with that in her hand. You put it in a kli and bury it with your hand. Then Reb Chaim added on, but you know, Hashem doesn't need any notes. Hashem knows what's happening without the notes. So the guy said, should I tell her? No, don't tell her, because she feels good. But he said, you know, she doesn't need the notes. And that's what happened. And my friend who knows this story, on the day of the Levaya, as it was happening, the guy ran back and asked him again. And Reb Chaim was crying, and yeah, she can bury it. And she was buried with this tefillah in her hand. So these shilas, who do you ask these shilas to? You don't ask a posek these shilas. You have to go to someone who's totally kodesh kadoshim. So these are the stories. These are Reb Chaim. Oh, so now, what can we learn? Number one, I have listed 5 things we can learn for Reb Chaim just for our own lives. Number one, everyone went to him. Thousands. We should care about other people. He listened to their sorrows. He tried to give etzah. He tried to give chizuk. So the first thing to learn from is, to give people a little bit of your time, give them a little chizuk. Somebody has a challenging day and wants to talk to you, so you listen. Reb Chaim listened to everyone. He is so sensitive. I have a friend who davened in the Letterman Shul in front of the Bima. Every year, Rosh Hashanah, the Haftorah of Rosh Hashanah is Haftorah Schana. She was in Akara. And thousands of women came to Reb Chaim for brachos. And my friend told me Reb Chaim would break down crying during the Haftorah every year. There's a shiloh whether you can cry in Rosh Hashanah or not. So Reb Chaim passing, apparently that's you're allowed to. Anyway, so number one, everyone went to him. So we should think about other people, care about other people. That's number one. Number two, value Torah. Value Torah. Every Tosfos is priceless. Every Tosfos is priceless. Part of valuing Torah is making sure we try to spend our, we'll get to this in a second more, but try to spend our time well. I'll give you a mashal. You guys follow sports, some people. And you check two websites every day. They say the same, 95%. Maybe follow one. I'm serious. That extra 10 minutes is another half a Tosfos you can do. Another few psukim in the Chumash you can do. Reb Chaim taught the world that every word of Torah is priceless. And he spent all his life showing it. Number three, value what's important in life. Reb Chaim would forget things that weren't important. In other words, he didn't know the names of the street signs. He didn't know the names of the street signs because he knew where to go. He didn't want to focus on the names of the street signs because he wanted to save his mind for Torah. If you came to him, if there wasn't a reason he should remember you, he wouldn't remember you. That's how his mind was trained. In other words, let's say a guy gave money and came back a year later, so he wouldn't know who he was necessarily. But there's an amazing story. There's a guy that took a picture of Reb Chaim when he was younger, 2 in the morning, outside, or he was feeding a cat or something, and Chaim got angry at him and said, "That's not a good, get rid of the film." 20 years later, this guy comes to Reb Chaim, says, "Oh, I've been waiting to ask mechila from you." In other words, since he felt it was a mechila waiting, that guy he remembered fully. You understand? Number three is value what's important in life. This is a big deal. A lot of us put a lot of value in what's not so important in life. But we should focus, for example, time is important. Make good use of our time. Time is precious. So if Chaim used his time perfectly, we can use our time better. Time for children. Reb Chaim spent a lot of time with his children. He learned with all of them. Now, how did Reb Chaim have time to learn with all his kids? Because he wasn't spending 4 hours on the internet, surfing the internet. That's how he spent his time with his kids. You hear that? If we would live like Reb Chaim a little more, we'd have plenty of time to play with our kids. But we spend so much time doing other stuff. You got that? So yes, the value Torah is number one. That's a separate set. Number two, value what's important. Value time. And also to make do with less. In other words, we discussed to value the Ruchnius more than the Gashmius. There's a famous story about Ayin Hara with Reb Chaim. There was a person, he was going to buy a new car, a fancy car, and his wife was afraid of Ayin Hara. You know, Ayin Hara, that if people are jealous of you and look at you in some sort of negative way, it can have an impact. He went to Reb Chaim and asked him. Reb Chaim said to him, "Do you know Shas? No. How much do you earn every day? Do you know any Masechta? Do you know a Perek? Do you know any Perek in Shas very well?" He said, "No." So Reb Chaim said, "What's it have an Ayin Hara about? If you don't know Shas, if you don't know how to learn, if you don't have a Perek of Shas under your belt, what's it have an Ayin Hara about? Money." Oh, that's Reb Chaim. That the important things in life is the Torah, not the money. That captures very well the idea of knowing what to value things and to value Torah. Number four is davening. He would tell everyone to daven. It wasn't like, oh, he would say things. A lot of what he did was he would tell people to daven. He would tell you to accept Kabbalah on yourself. He would tell people to use wine for Kiddush and Abdullah for certain things. But guys, davening works. Reb Chaim davened for everyone. He encouraged everyone to daven. We can learn from Chaim the importance of davening. And Reb Chaim would daven for hatzlacha in learning. My Rebbe Rav Shech Deshrita always says you have to daven for hatzlacha in everything. When the Gemara Nida says, "What should you be matzliach in this? Do this, this, and you daven." Rav Shechta once said that before he gives a shir, he says it's tefila to Hashem for hatzlacha in the shir. You have to daven for hatzlacha in learning. So his grandkids tell a story that when a client would finish one esrei, he would take out a piece of paper with his personal request, and then he put it away. What was it? He would write things like, "I want to finish this sefer," or "I want to learn this sefer." Sometimes he would cry when he read it. That's amazing. Reb Chaim, he davened for the extra hatzlacha in Siyata D'Shmaya. Everyone needs help in the Siyata D'Shmaya in learning. And if Reb Chaim was davening for it, we should for sure be davening for hatzlacha in learning. Very important. And finally, number five, to strive for greatness. Look at what he accomplished with very, very hard work. Look at what he accomplished. And Rav Aaron Filmer told a story about Rav Ruderman Zatzal. Rav Ruderman visited Israel, must be 40, 50 years ago, and he came back, They said, how was your trip? He said, I bought a matzah for the Sefer Torah. So what happened? I met a young person in Kollel. I spoke to him. I said, this person's a Sefer Torah. He's a Sefer Torah, walking Sefer Torah. But he said that his jacket was torn. So I pressured, I convinced him to let me buy him a new coat. So he said he was able to buy a jacket for Reb Chaim. He came back and he said he bought a matzah for a Sefer Torah. This is 40, 50 years ago. These are things, it's a big loss. So much Torah has gone from the world now. Torah, Avodah, Gemilas Chasadim. All of us should accept upon ourselves a little bit to do a little more than we've been doing until now. And we can all learn from Reb Chaim. Okay, guys, we'll stop here.